Today is Trinity Sunday, which is the Sunday following the Pentecost. When last week we had a special service, remember that very special day that happened when the Spirit came upon the people and the disciples. As I was contemplating, what am I going to share on a Trinity Sunday? Am I going to talk about something very theological about what Trinity is all about? And I think I should try to stay away from that, because I think that's probably been done over and over again many times. I want to talk about particularly the context of how the Trinity God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how He works in unity and harmony. And so I titled this morning's sermon is All for One and One for All. And you know where I got that from. Now, before I go into that, let me explain to you why I have that pattern in your pew sheet. This pattern is called the hat. The hat. Because it vaguely resembles a fedora. This elusive shape is an Einstein from German. Einstein meaning one stone. Now that means it can completely cover a whole surface without ever creating a repeated pattern. All right? This little tile, or whatever you may call it, it fits together so well that it would never repeat itself. All right? Now, I never tested it for myself, but that's according to the person who discovered that. It is a 13-side figure or pattern that comes together. The reason I've chosen to use that to talk about Trinity Sunday is that our God is that an incredible God who can really be omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And God does not repeat itself, because He can be everything and anything. Our God is a Trinitarian God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God works in unity. Three persons in one. Even though sometimes this doctrine may be very difficult for us to grasp it. The true God works in perfect unity and harmony. And God wants us, the church, also to be united, to be focused, determined, and committed. Now, our church has been having conversation about where we at and what would be the best for us in the future direction. And so I want to use today, Sunday, to share a few ideas how we can work in harmony and in unity with one another. And that's why I use the Three Musketeer catch cry: all for one and one for all. Unfortunately, today, as we look around us, there are often a lot of disunity among many places and situations. And I believe God wants us to face our challenges to be all for one and one for all. When Jesus, the Son, was hanging on the cross, God, in the Son, that is Jesus, hanged with Him and died for you and I. And that shows us the fullness of God and how the Trinity God works together and in harmony. And when Christ resurrected and ascended to heaven, he promised that there is the Holy Spirit who will continue to be our advocate and to bind us together and to help us. So this morning I want to share very quickly 10 points that would help us to work together in harmony and unity. Firstly, we need to spend more time in thinking about God and remembering about the grace of God. Yes, we accept that we live in a fallen world. We have many weaknesses and sins that around us. But to understand God, we need to first grasp the grace that God has given to us that underpin all our efforts, our purpose, and our unity as Christ has brought the Father to be known to us. The second point is that there is spiritual safety in unity. If we operate as one, quite easily we can be vulnerable to many temptations and attacks and so on. But if we are bound together in the unity of Christ, we have spiritual safety in that unity. The third point is that we need to be strong in the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. When we feel our heart begins to turn against one another, or when we have differences and disagreement, it's then time for us to turn to God and turn to the Word of God when God asks us to love one another and to allow God's Word to convict us into love, forgiveness, and other things that we can help each other to be united. The fourth point is that we need to spend more time considering areas of disagreement and consider areas of agreement and less in the area of disagreement. When we work with each other, there will always be differences of opinions, approaches, way of doing things, and so on. But let us focus on what we can agree on and less on those that we may not be able to agree. Point number five, we need to renew our mind and our hearts to what it means to be at peace with God and with each other. When we consider all things in the light of God, His perfect goodness, the holiness and peace that can be found in our hearts, then we are able to have a mind and our hearts that can be at peace with one another. That will allow us to soften our approach and able to be better listener and be able to be more receptive to other people's point of view. Point six, we need to count the cost of disunity. If we descend into disunity, then that allows Satan, the devil, have a foothold in our organization or in our church or even in our family. So we need to maintain peace so that we can deny Satan the opportunity to have a triumph over us. Point seven, be the first to seek peace and reconciliation. A couple of days ago, there was a gathering of some ladies, and during the discussion, they talk about how each of the couples deal with conflicts and disagreement, and there were some very interesting suggestions and how they share with each other. We need to count the cost of this unity. If we cannot maintain peace, then that disunity can easily cause havoc in our church and in our organization. So we need to be first to help to seek peace and reconciliation. Point number 8, walk and work together with other Christians as far as possible. Make the word of God the judge, the only judge of our actions and the action of others. There is so much more of the Lord's work that we can accomplish together rather than being apart. Point number 9, judge yourself more than you judge others. In other words, if we're going to measure other people, then we need to measure ourselves with the same yardstick. We need to spend more time considering our own weaknesses and rather than focusing on the weaknesses of others. And we need not be quick to judge. And the last, we need to pursue humility. Humility. Humility generates peace among Christians. We need to be humble. We need to be receptive to what other people has to say. Above all of these, I believe we need to pin our hope and our unity in the area of prayers. In the area of prayers. There's a saying that a family eats together, stays together. But more importantly, I believe for a church, when a church prays together, we stay together. So over the next few weeks, we'll also be focusing a lot more areas in the area of prayers. And that is why I have chosen this few weeks to have a look at this whole area of, thank you, this whole area of art of war, and particularly focusing in the area of prayers. Well, in closing, we need to recognize that we have differences, and differences in opinions, differences of seeing things, and may even be differences in worship styles and others. We need to lift each other up and be united in Christ so we can accomplish the work that we are the body of Christ, that we are called to accomplish. In order for the church to be strong and effective, all members must work together for God's glory. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we share in each other's joy and sorrow, and we worship God together. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us continue to pray and ask God for unity among us as we work through our future, our path, and our plans. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.